Hello, everyone. Today we'll be starting a new book, 1 Peter. I invite all of you to open up your Bible or Bible apps and follow along as I read the passage. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I want to begin by giving a little background on this first letter written by the Apostle Peter. At this point in time, Peter is probably in prison in Rome somewhere, and he is writing this letter addressing Christian believers who have been dispersed to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, mainly places in Asia Minor in the Mediterranean. So these believers are not living in their homelands, rather they are living in exile and have been scattered. The beginning of Peter's letter starts with a reminder to believers. He reminds them that as Christians, they've been born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now, one of my favorite worship songs, and songs in general, is Living Hope by Phil Wickham, who happens to also be my favorite worship leader and artist. And this song moves me every time we sing it in corporate worship, and it's not because of its climactic third verse or the anthemic chorus. I am moved because of what the song declares about Jesus and what he has done for me and for us as God's children. And the song is rooted in the truths found in 1 Peter 1. Jesus' victory over the cross and death give believers a hope that is alive. It means that Jesus is alive, and there is this promised inheritance that is guaranteed to us as well, that we have eternal life through him. And this promise of eternal life is something that, according to verse 4, is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is imperishable in the sense that the promise will never go bad. Unlike food that grows mold, becomes stale, or milk in your refrigerator that eventually goes sour, there is no expiration date to this inheritance from God. Secondly, it is also undefiled. God is not giving us a tainted or subpar gift. He gave us a perfect gift through his perfect Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, this promise inheritance is unfading. When I first got a car in high school, I thought it'd be cool to leave a stuffed penguin buckled in my back seat. He was exposed to the sun and heat day in and day out. And what do you think happened to him? He faded, like he was really faded. With time and exposure to the elements, everything fades except the gift of eternal life given to us by God. It is a promise that will never fade and never change. And the nature of our inheritance is a direct result of the price paid by Jesus. Praise God that, according to verses 18 and 19, our lives are bought not by things that can perish like silver or gold, but it was ransomed by something that is infinitely and eternally precious, the blood of Jesus. So Peter has to remind the exiled Christians and us about this living and eternal hope that we have in Jesus, because there will be trials that come. Thinking back to what was going on when Peter wrote this letter, these Christian believers are living in exile, away from their homeland. They are scattered in unfamiliar and foreign places. And additionally, they are probably being persecuted for their faith. Peter himself is in a Roman jail as he's writing this very letter. He probably knew that it was unlikely that he would ever be free again. So Peter had to remind both himself and fellow believers that though they may experience suffering and trials, their faith in Christ is being refined and tested. And in the same way, our faith in Jesus will be tested and refined as we go through our own difficulties. Are there challenges and trials in your life that you're experiencing right now? There's a reason all these situations burden us so much. They're often very visible, tangible, and pressing things that affect us, and maybe even grieve us, like it says in verse 6. However, these trials are temporary. It doesn't mean that they are painless or easy to go through, or that they will resolve quickly. God does not minimize or trivialize the struggles that we go through. But what Peter is saying to us and believers in this letter is to remember that living, eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. God is basically asking us, do you trust me? Do you remember what I have done for you by giving you my son Jesus, who went through his own trials and was crucified and died for you? So let's be reminded of this hope that we have in the one who has gone through the fire for us and is also with us in the fire. So how do we respond to the grace that God has given to us? The first response is to be holy. Peter urges the believers in verses 14 and 15 to not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance and to be holy in all your conduct while in exile. That challenge remains true for us today as well. We ought to remain set apart for him, mind, body, and heart. So we should not go back to our former ways of thinking or acting or to forget what he has done for us. The final response is a little bit more subtle, and that is to rejoice. We actually see this earlier in the letter in verses 6 and 8. And that can be a kind of confusing sentiment to feel, especially in the context of what Peter is saying. How do we rejoice when we go through trials and suffering? Now, Christian joy can be emotional in nature, but it is and should be rooted in something so much deeper. As we have seen in this passage, joy comes from knowing that we have this living hope through Jesus. Our salvation is secure, and it is one that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Our present sufferings and struggles on earth will pale in comparison to the grace that we have received through faith in Christ. So this deep joy is more than an emotion. It is rooted in this assurance and confidence that we have in our God, who has been faithful and will continue to be faithful to us. He has given us eternal life, and we can have a relationship with Him. So let us rejoice in this truth today. We're only 1 week away from Christmas Day, and there is this excitement that is probably brewing within us for presents, time with family and friends, and so on. Even more so than all of those temporal things, let us rejoice that we have good news, that Jesus came into this dark world full of trials and suffering, and through His death and resurrection gave us everlasting and living hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this word today. Thank You that we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God, as it says in verse 23. And now we have this living and eternal hope that we can put our trust in. I pray that especially for those of us who may struggle to see Your goodness or having a hard time trusting You in the midst of hardship, that You would give a special grace to remind us of all that You've done, so that we can know Your nearness to us even in difficulties. Give each of us perseverance to hold fast to these truths no matter where we are in our faith journeys. And I ask that You fill each person listening with a deep-seated joy in their hearts today, a joy that is rooted in the confidence that we have in Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.